Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet. Uh-oh, it's your favorite substitute teacher coming in to teach y'all a lesson on how to be a good person, or I don't know, or at least a savvy podcast consumer. Well, welcome to season 151, episode 1 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. Everybody knows this show. It's the number one rated news show on Earth. We just overtook The Daily from the New York Times. So, you know what? Shout out all the Zeit Gang for helping us make that happen, allegedly. But look, everybody knows what this show is. Every day we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, get so grossed out, start dry heaving, and then we say, officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck fondant on cakes. Yeah. That's a new one we added because they fuck up wedding cakes. What is fondant? It's just too much. Like, it's overwhelming. Chalk. Yeah, it's just a weird sheet of texture that no one needs it. And Rush Limbaugh, Ben Shapiro, Tucker Carlson, all the rest of the white supremacists. Yes, please leave. Please go. It's Monday, September 14th, 2020. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. I don't have the instrumental, but pretend you're hearing this is Gravel Pit by Wu-Tang. Ba, 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 check out my pod, it's lit. TDZ's what we're fucking with. Because we were talking about, okay, the Wu-Tang video with, you know, being a good promotional vehicle for the McRib. That's where that came from. Christy Yamaguchi Mane caught that reference, spun that into AKA, turned that just dirt into gold, straight up alchemy. So shout out to you at Yama underscore Gucci Mane, GUCCIMANE. He had, you know, he's on the run from the Twitter Fed, so he has to kind of keep him guessing. But that's what that is. And now I have the privilege, the honor, and it's just the pure enjoyment of having this experience of introducing my guest co-host during this wild ride while Jack goes to scout Mars to see if it's good enough for us to live on. Please welcome the greatest, I would say, you know, the scourge of the Unicode Consortium, the person who's haunting them, the proponent, the lifter of resurfacing machines, Lil Zam herself, Jamie Loftus.
Zamboni once told me ice resurfacer emoji. I made the smallest Zam in the decks. I was looking for some fun that resurfacers got spunk to make ice really flat like a floorboard. Which I like that it just like really bravely chooses not to rhyme at the end.
Yeah.
Like a floorboard.
Yeah. Or just like flat like a... I guess, yeah, fine, fuck it. Let's just do that. That's the joke, I guess, you know, humor.
That's
jokes.
From my friend and yours, Zamboni. That was written prior to my rejection from Unicode, which, you know, it is kind of fun to have a new irrational enemy. And I take Unicode on as my new fun enemy.
For people who don't know, the fucking... The ghouls at the Unicode Consortium, they are the gatekeepers of emojis, okay? To get an emoji included in, like, across all phones and mobile devices, the Unicode Consortium has to come down from on high and say, yes, we will create avocado emoji. We will create bacon. We will create burrito. But no Zamboni? No Zamboni?
No,
I'm sorry.
I got a series of passive aggressive emails, one of which sort of made sense, but made it clear that they hadn't opened the document. I mean,
right.
Listen, you can listen to Alex Schmidt's podcast on the topic, but the difference is he was successful.
I think what we need to do is actually we need to, like any great campaign, is we need to mobilize our allies in Scandinavia and other cold countries where ice sports are respected and exalted. And say, they're trying to leave out a critical piece of infrastructure that gives us the winter sports we love and hold so dearly.
Had a lot of Canadians in the comments being like, I actually am feeling disrespected.
Yeah.
By this I'm not even gonna,
look, I played hockey, full disclosure, so yeah. I have a connection to the Zamboni, but I believe it's worthwhile. And you know what? We'll figure out a way to do this with the collective might of Zeitgang, because look, we can do anything.
Good use of energy. And
if
time,
we can get this show to number one, the number one podcast in the world right now, then there's fucking emoji easy. But before we do that, we got to bring in our guest, someone who... I love having on because her takes ain't She's fakes. Her takes are real and they hit harder than steel. It's the one and only Zara Norbach.
What's up?
There she is. Ooh. Oh,
the sheer lung power.
Yeah, for you, especially you're up in the Bay too with the air quality not great.
I go outside. And I blow the ash away with my enthusiasm.
Wow. Yes. Yes. We need more of that. So we need more enthusiastic people to go outside and just scream at the smoke.
2020. Oh, I lost it.
How long have you been in the Bay now? Because I know last time, were you on your way up there? Were you quite settled up there? You were in LA still?
Yeah, I went up to go see my folks, and I'm here, and I think it's been 20,000 years, 25 days, 2 hours.
20,000, no, yeah, 20,000
years. 20,000 years, yeah, I think that was right.
20
millennia. 20,000 leagues under Arabia.
I love that graphic novel you wrote. It is fantastic. If you haven't read 20 Leagues Under the Labia yet by Zara Norbach, please check that out wherever you get your independent comics. Zara, I think we're all on the West Coast now dealing with the smoke. I get constant messages from people who are not in the state who just look at like a couple photos and are thoroughly freaked out, which they should be because it is a horrific situation here.
It's Mars.
I can't get over the air quality and like how much I'm coughing up stuff. Like, look, full disclosure, if I smoke 3 blunts like in a night, I can cough up some dark things in my mucus, okay? Mm. But now, not even smoking, I'm like, I'm already getting things in there, but that's not for here or there. That's for my doctor tomorrow.
My air quality level is at a Bernie Sanders level right now. Bernie Sanders.
Wow. I was gonna say how are you? How are things where you are? Like, is it overwhelming?
Wonderful,
wonderful.
It's perfect. No okay. Check this out. This morning I get woken up to leaf blowers.
Oh,
and I'm just like, why? Please take
now
the day
more
off
than ever.
I'll pay you to take the day off. Also, it's just ash. Like, I literally was looking at a cloud of ash and dry leaves whirling like a tornado in the air.
Oof.
I will say that is a very 2020 poll quote of like, it's just ash. Takes it
off. Right. 2021 will be like, don't worry, it's just ash from human remains.
It's just ash.
Like, it's just ash, though, in the end of like, of people. Anyway, before we get too funny on this podcast on this Monday, let's give people a little bit of a preview. Obviously, Zara, we're gonna dive into your brain a little bit more.
Dive into my brain.
The things we got coming up, okay? We're going to have to check in with the, I chimed in with a, haven't you people ever heard of, not causing a fucking panic. No panic at the shit show. It continues because now we have, there's all little nooks and crannies and nuggets that are coming out of this. A new one, this time about Mohammed bin Salman, as well as some more defense weird logic deployed by Fox and friends to try and excuse Trump's admissions. Then we'll talk a little bit. I just saw this story about Connecticut high school football, and I did not know that so quickly you could get people mobilized over the cancellation of a high school sports season, but I get it. But it's a little bit, this is interesting times we're in. Then we'll also talk a little bit about some more super spreader events, this time a Trump rally in Michigan, a little bit more info on those Trump boat parades and like why these things, like why they're so lit and sort of what the subconscious motivation is of doing stuff like this. And then we're going to have to talk about good news for Catholics. Y'all can bang guilt free now without having the devil breathing down your back. Okay.
Woohoo.
Hey, wow. What's that? What was that on my back? The devil? No, but don't feel bad about it.
But that was part of the kink of it. The devil like, on your back.
Right. Or
the devil on my back.
Or making up other sexual activities you could do that like weren't explicitly outlined in the Bible and being like, no, we're good with this one because I don't see this specifically in the text of the good book. Then we'll talk a little bit, you know, because Jamie's here. We got to bring in some good news for Babu Frick Hive. For people who love the character Babu Frick from the last Star Wars movie, I think maybe has replaced Darth Vader for me as my favorite character in Star
Most
Wars.
Most iconic Star Wars characters.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. This is really exciting news for about 12 people. I'm yeah.
thrilled. Oh, yeah. This is why we do it.
And the devil on your back.
Yeah. But first, Zara. What is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I just searched the Grand Canyon.
Mm.
Ooh.
What is that?
My escape hatch. That's my escape. That was my escape. So to get away from the smoke in California, for those of you who are not in it right now, you would need to travel 100 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? That's how far we got to go?
Yeah, at least.
God damn.
100 miles.
Damn.
So I was like, where's somewhere cool to just like go?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how about the Grand Canyon?
Yeah.
Because like if I travel down to LA, there's smoke there.
Mm-hmm. Gotta go.
There's
east,
a
right?
wildfire in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
You go up further north, there's more smoke, including in Oregon where it's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, the Grand Canyon. And I want to roll down the Grand Canyon.
Like a barrel?
Like log roll? Like just like arms to your sides and be like, woo!
No, I want to keep my limbs out so they break.
Oh, okay. Oh, you just want to mangle yourself.
Yeah, I just want to see. Because, you know, 2020, why does it get to initiate all the damage? I just want to see what I can do.
Just like a kid, be like, I bet I could survive that. Let me just try.
I want a picture of myself at the bottom looking like a broken matchstick. That's what I want.
Oh, the thoughts we have.
Love that energy you're bringing.
Jamie, you got away from the smoke. You were away from the smoke. Did you come back towards the smoke as your great journey across these United States came to a conclusion? Or had the fire already began?
We got here... Lucky us, we got here right in time for the fire to start.
Oh, wow.
Because
great.
The party simply doesn't start until... did not get here. We got here, I think, the day before fires really started kicking up. And, Yeah, we almost stopped at the Grand Canyon, but then it was like, oh, there's probably, I don't know if there's going to be too many people there. Traveling is so confusing that it's just like impossible to know, like, where is it safest to stop? I think the answer is no.
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to Yosemite and it was packed with people, no masks.
Though that's the thing,
yeah,
a lot of people
just never know.
People like the idea of like outside equals no mask. Inside mask, outside no mask, which, you know, I get that it's a completely different scenario, but like when you're in a crowd and stuff, like you kind of want to feel like, okay, is everybody kind of on the same page here on how we're going to get through this versus like, I can't possibly, I'm getting mask knee. I can't keep this on all day and talk.
I'm like, which is a real thing. Mask knee is definitely a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just something I've really like embraced as a part of my life.
I got a weird pimple on my nose from having it all covered all the time.
Oh,
weird.
Yeah?
Anyway.
You got to get Mascutane. Mascutane is the shit.
I haven't been plucking my chin hairs for months. Mask. And then I went in because of the mask. You don't need to worry about it. But then
I know,
really,
it's pretty great.
Really hit. I really pulled some that I was like, oh, wow. It was actually really becoming a situation under there.
It could be the mask knee or the... It could be the mask or maybe like the 2 pints of ice cream I can stress eat in one sitting.
Oh, my God.
So, I don't know. Maybe that gave me the pimple. I don't know. I'm going to blame the masks.
Let's say it's the mask.
Ice cream never hurt nobody.
No, ice cream is what you use to put on the mask knee.
Just an ice cream mask spot treatment like Mario Badescu.
Yes, yes. That's what you need.
You don't know about that. Zara, what's something you think is overrated besides your limbs?
Lungs.
Okay.
My lungs.
Yeah,
I don't need them. I don't need them.
Go off, you lungless queen. Let me know.
I don't need my lungs. I when I open my mouth, I want it to sound like a carp. We don't need lungs, right? I mean, everything is attacking our lungs this year.
Yeah.
It's true. No lungs November. That's
Oh,
my,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no lungs November. That's you're right.
It might be no lungs November from all the screaming. If people have to take the streets over a contested election, I don't know. Could be no lungs for any reason.
We are coping.
Yeah, Zeitgang, write in your favorite coping food. You know what I mean? Because look, fish food. They know me at 7-Eleven, and when it's not in there, I'm like, "Where's the fish food at, bro?" I like to keep all the chocolate fish in the corner of my mouth when I have a big bite, and then I bring them to the middle and I enjoy the chocolate fish as their own sort of thing. And that's how I get down with Ben and Jerry's. Zara, what's Mascutane. Shout out Mascutane and what's the other one? Accutane was the one that used to like give kids like wild problems too.
Oh yeah, and you can't get pregnant on Mascutane. You can't.
Oh right.
Yeah. That used to be like the low key way to get birth control in high school.
That's right.
Yes, I remember that because they're like, no, low key, like they're like,
unless you have the devil
on
your back, devil on your back.
Her skin is perfect.
Yeah, they have sex in his Bronco on Sunny Slope after school. Okay, damn, that's a lot of information. Zara, what's something you think is underrated?
Bottles of wine.
Damn. Ooh.
Have a bottle. Why share? Right? try to work your way up to a bottle a day.
Ooh. I mean, last time, wasn't it your birthday when you came on?
Oh, 20,000 years ago?
Wasn't that the last time you were on? I could have swore because we were like, yo, let's, like, because I think you're like, I want some box wine.
I think it was yesterday. Yeah, I was like, yeah
or
box 20, 000, wine.
One of them.
Yeah, one of those. And I'm done with the wine now.
Mm-hmm. So it's time to re-up.
I might move to gin. I've been like whining it up.
Mm-hmm. Whining, dutty whining. Okay.
Just like, you know, like, do I want tequila? I'm not there yet. I feel like, I don't know about you guys, but I've been like really selective about my alcohol during pandemic quarantine.
Yeah. I'm a social drinker most of the time, so I haven't drinking as much. But when I do, I have very specific desires. So if I go to the store and I want some beer, I'd always be like, I want this very specific thing, or I want like this kind of thing or whatever. It's never I don't know, what is there, wine? Sure.
Well, there are some alcohols that are like super social alcohols.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Smashing tequila by yourself at home is one thing. But you know,
it's not the best vibe.
Tequila, soda, and lime outside. It's hot. True. You can enjoy that.
Casual.
Yeah.
I went chaos at the beginning of the pandemic, and I was like, "We're getting a box of Franzia," and it's just, it is what it is. But I've tried to. Do you ever have like a moment in your life where you're like, I need to slightly treat myself the smallest bit better? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, no more Franzia, and I've pivoted to Boda boxes.
Hey, ooh. Yeah, little, the Boda
it's
box.
It's a little nicer. It's a little nicer. It tastes looks better. Nice. And it feels less chaotic to have a Boda box.
Okay. Yeah, but you know what? Yes. If you get the really high-end wines, then you don't have a hangover the next day.
That's true. The Boda can't say that for the Boda box.
Yeah.
What is that? What's the deal? I'm so ignorant when it comes to shit like this. So break it down for me.
It makes such a difference.
Tell me this, Zara. What could possibly be wrong with cheap ass wine?
Apart from the food coloring.
What?
Yeah, there's food coloring in it.
Oh, you love to see it. Wait, for real? Oh, that makes sense. I mean, how do you get those like deep yellows?
Are you sure that's wine?
Yeah. I don't know. That's the bottle they pass around on my corner. So
gorgeous wine yellows that everyone.
That's true. Like when you look at a bottle of like Livingston, you know what I mean? Like the 7-Eleven wine and shit, that like Chardonnay or whatever, you're like, that is a deep, deep hue. And even me as a non-wine drinker, it looks like a bottle of flat beer. But
it looks like Mountain Dew.
Yeah, something. I mean, like, hey, no juice slander out here though.
The Wisconsin wine bottle design while I was up there is just such a treat. There are some local wine companies near where we were staying that had a very graphic design is my passion kind of energy on the label, where it was a lot of fonts. Just a lot of fonts. But the wine was good, but there was a lot of fonts.
I didn't know there was a Wisconsin wine country. Shout out to
them. They make ice wine or something? I don't know that much. I don't know. It was like fruit wine. So I think it was I don't know that much about wine.
Look, Wisconsin Wine Zeit Gang, let us know. Wisconsin Wine Twitter, please hop in our mentions. What's the best Wisconsin wine? You make ice wine because it's cold up there? You know, I don't know. I'm ignorant. Well, that's all I know. And finally, Zara, what's a myth? What's something that people think is true that you know to be false or vice versa?
Outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real. Mm-hmm. I know it now.
Ooh. Wow.
I've been inside many, many days, and I know there is no outside.
Mm. Just comparatively.
I'm comforted by this.
Yeah. Mm. My FOMO has gone away now, knowing that the only thing that is real are these four walls and these faces changing on this laptop screen.
Here I am with my mascutane and my red lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
And your nice wine.
And my nice wine. Outside.
And this has nothing to do with the just nihilism that goes along with creeping wildfires and climate change and things like that.
What's nihilism when nothing matters?
Oh, wow. Damn. Wow. Damn.
Excuse me, I'm going to go roll down the Grand Canyon. I'll be
mic drop. Gotta go. I mean,
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I can. You're like turning into Kramer from the Kenny Rogers episode where all that red light was coming through his window and it was like messing him up. And like the red skies of the like Northern California,
so
you're like,
people.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's how I feel like when I look at like people I know in the Bay and I'm seeing photos of like their lives too. And I'm like, that's gotta be I mean, at least here it just looks like shit and it smells awful and there's ash coming down. But like, the red sky, the red planet vibe feels very disconcerting.
It's not just red, it's dark. It's blocking out the sun. Like, isn't this how the dinosaurs went?
Yeah.
That's true. Wow.
I mean, I'm resourceful like a pterodactyl. I'll turn into a parrot on the other end. I'll make it.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I've been considering marathoning all the Land Before Times. Maybe it'll be like kind of comforting to be like, hey, they had a good run.
Yeah.
Look how much fun they had before that whole.
What happens
when we are
extinct and other new intelligent life forms become like the top? Like, it'll be like, dinosaurs, then humans, then like the bleep 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 bleep, bleep people or whatever organisms.
They'll think that
take
we
over.
Were so cute. They're I know. Like, and they, aw.
You want to be a bleep bleep?
Yeah, there's like a Jurassic Park movie, but it's just about like podcasters. Just I don't know. This is what they did. These
freaks running.
These
over
were the scariest near. People during that time, based on the utter destruction that was caused by their mouths. Okay, well, with that, let's take a quick break, look into our souls, and figure out if this is what we want to keep doing. And we'll be right back, and we're going to pay some bills.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And let's get into some news. You know,
it's, do it.
The president had a wild week last week, you know, because he was out here going to his taped confessionals with Father Woodward at the church, in which he would confess all of his deepest, darkest secrets, like, you know, doing diet genocide on the country. And, you know, the needle's not really moving. But, you know, when nothing matters, how can you be nihilistic? But now there's like even more material for Americans to just roll their eyes at and just get grossed out by. So there's another excerpt from the book Rage by Bob Woodward, in which now there is an interesting interaction in which the president describes talking about the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia. And, you know, just that little old thing. What was that? The Jamal Khashoggi murder, when he ordered the brutal murder and kidnapping of Jamal Khashoggi, but on foreign soil in Turkey. Okay. I think we all remember that. I know it was 40,000 years ago, but most of y'all remember this. So what happens is, this is what he writes, that Trump called him, Woodward, on January 22nd, shortly after going to the Economic Forum in Davos. And so he said, you know, he wanted to kind of press him about this, to find out what his feelings were. This is what Woodward told Trump. He said, quote, "The people at the Post are upset about the Khashoggi killing. And, you know, that is one of the most gruesome things you yourself have said." And Trump responds, "Yeah, but Iran is killing 36 people a day." So that was his first response. Wow. And then after a little back and forth, he goes back. Trump says, "I saved his ass," referring to Mohammed bin Salman and following Khashoggi's murder. Quote, "I was able to get Congress to leave him alone. I was able to get them to stop." Now, the White House had no comment after this nugget.
No kidding.
Yeah. And now, I don't know, this doesn't, I mean, the whataboutism is truly something. It's like, yeah, he, this is an American that was dismembered. I don't, yeah, but I don't know if you heard about what's going on in Iran, so I'm just going to ignore what you just said, because I've thought of this other thing. Yeah. That's one guy. How about 36? And what are you doing?
What a swerve.
Yeah. So, you know, these are the kinds of stories that come out where we already knew this, that this is what he was doing. Like, Trump was never taking this seriously. He was, even though all of the intelligence was like, Mohammed bin Salman directed this. This was direct from him for this action to take place. Very little done. And then even to hear him, it's like, it's almost like more fucked up in a way, because like, we already knew that the president was covering for Mohammed bin Salman and had no interest in rocking the boat because of arms sales and just having a strategic, you know, place to park your war parts in that part of the world. Now it just feels like the knife just kind of goes in like deeper. You know what I mean? Because you're like, I don't need you here. You confirm this shit. Like, we knew you, like, but
that's been, I mean, that's, but that was the, I mean, I am interested in a cutting way, to hear what is inside of Woodward's new book. And, but his, I mean, it's not his fault, like, but his books on Trump, it's like it's bizarre. It's like, it's all just confirming things that we already knew instead of revealing, you know, revealing anything. It's just like, oh no, just if you were wondering if he was just well aware of what he was doing and didn't give a shit, here's a pull quote where he just confirms that he was well aware.
I have it on tape too, if you want to hear him.
Right. If you want to hear him say, it's just like, you can have like this Dolby surround sound, you know, version of confirming what we already knew. I'm very glad that the historical documents exist, but in the moment it's like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
We know.
They don't want you to be friends with Iran, because we're about to hit second election Ahmadinejad. Too real.
Yeah. three real, actually, if I can be so blunt. And meanwhile, Trump is still reeling from his Antipa comments, anti-panic, as I like to call it. He's Antipa. He's Antipa, because he don't want to panic nobody. And so conservatives we've seen it. They have been more than willing to throw their useless bodies on top of this shit grenade and just making things worse.
Shit, whether that's grenade, like, is the best image I have come across to date. Well,
you just hop
done,
on it and just
sir.
Covered
punk
in it.
Band name too.
Shit grenade. Shit grenade. Oh yeah.
We are shaking it. Grenade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hold on. I like the lead singer's timbre of their voice. What was that?
Yeah, the lead singer grenade. Is a baby.
It's a Muppet. Yeah. Welcome, shit grenade. Anyway, so, you know, they're obviously willing to just debase themselves no matter what. Tucker Carlson compared Trump to fucking, who was it? Worst. FDR. It was like the absolute worst thing. Yeah, because he was like,
he didn't say that
when he said there's nothing to fear but fear itself. He wasn't, but all that to say was just sort of like,
oh, that's a great impression.
That people didn't drag FDR when he was acknowledging bad things. Like, people knew the Great Depression was fucked up. So it's not like he had to be like, guys, the Great Depression, don't panic about that thing you've already been living in the midst of. This is my inaugural, you know, it's like, anyway, I wish people were a little bit more in tune with history. But yeah, with this specifically, so the most recent just smooth brain defense of the president comes from Brian Kilmeade from Trump's favorite morning kids TV show, Fox and Friends, or as I call it, Yo MAGA MAGA. And as they were really interested in this one because they wanted to say, like, you know, the president didn't do anything wrong. Like, that's just the line they got to do. Even though he said he completely obscured the threat of COVID-19, people are still just like, no, that's not what actually happened. And let me just set this up. This happened on 9/11, not 9/11 2001, on September 11th on Friday of this last week, where Rudy Giuliani was on Fox and Friends to, you know, sundown on camera and talk about 9/11 and various other things. So this is where Brian Kilmeade spins off of Giuliani's like anecdotes about 9/11 to defend the president.
Okay. There's so much you just said that is so applicable to today. Number one, you heard about an attack and you didn't call a press conference to panic people. What, did you lie to them? I don't think so. Number two, George Bush, we weren't even thinking about Al-Qaeda. Gore and Bush were debating three times. It never came up. Blindsided, almost like the pandemic, came out of left field. You could say that. And number three, is Governor Pataki was secure enough to say, okay, Rudy City, I'm the governor. He wasn't saying, give me a press.
Okay, I can't even listen to any more of that.
Sorry, what was number two?
What is happening?
What was number two?
Number three. Number one was you didn't call a press conference about 9/11?
What?
Come on now.
So much Adderall in that administration. They can't keep track, man.
It's unreal. I don't even know. Like, I hope Brian Kilmeade didn't like high five himself when they went to break after that. He's like, yes, Brian, you fucking own that
nailed
shit.
Nailed it, man.
Fuck. I was like, Giuliani didn't call a press conference on 9/11. Now, first of all, there were reports that terrorist extremism was becoming an issue. That wasn't a thing that was obscure. Also, with even COVID, these are things people knew about. There's not like America's going to ignore their own foreign policy in a region of the world and be like, yeah, no, they're cool with all that. We can just ignore that region of the world. Like, that was the mentality. No, like, people know the whole thing is so disingenuous, but this is what you have to do when you try and defend a president who out loud said, I'm going to obscure the threat of this pandemic because really I don't want to fuck up the stock market. Let's be real. It had nothing to do with the human beings. It had everything to do with the stock market. He knows what happens.
He's got one job. He's here to bankrupt the United States of America and peace out.
And couldn't be more straightforward about it. I mean, it's like, again, I don't know. I'm like re-listening to Woodward's Fear from a couple years ago. And it is just so like, I don't know. Like if you read his book about the Obama administration, Obama's warts, you genuinely get like insight into decisions that President Obama made that was not readily apparent in like public facing stuff. But here it's just like, It's
mayhem.
Important, but it's depressing because you're just like, I knew all this stuff, and it's just being repeated back to you in the most horrific, direct terms possible by the person
almost in a way that's insulting.
Yeah,
almost in a way that you want to be like, what are you doing here, Kim Jong Gaddafi? Why are you talking to me like this? What are you doing to my country? Everyone in the world is worried about me. That's destabilization. We're still in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And still finding our feet. And like, you know, there was an article I read earlier today about a psychologist who's like, the trauma that the president has already inflicted with this like bio warfare campaign will be felt for decades. Like, it's just an inescapable fact that we are going through trauma.
Say more. What is this bio warfare? What you mean, like with COVID, or you mean like in terms of the climate?
All of it, really, but in this instance,
which war?
Yeah, pick either one. But
is it the one on the
specifically,
post office,
right? Exactly. This one to do with the pandemic, unfortunately. The research is still out there for all the other wars, but who knows? We'll see when. I mean, hold on. Just look out if you're in California, the West Coast. Just look out your windows.
Oh, let me take a look.
Yep.
Oh, it's still Mars.
But you know what? When I look out there, I think I should have raked up some fucking leaves. So that's on me, y'all. I apologize.
Get a leaf blower.
I FaceTimed my cousin and niece yesterday, and she was just like, "What kind of filter do you have on your camera right now?" I was like, "Oh, no. You don't understand. That's what the sky is like."
Oh, brave. You were outside? Oh, damn. FaceTiming?
I was just in my backyard. I was just like in our in the back of the house or outside. Bravely outside for like 3 minutes and I scared her. So I went inside.
You're going to scare Zara too. We know there's no outside. I'm sorry, Zara. There is no outside. There is only the inside.
That's not real. There's no outside.
It was a fantasy
We can stay
I'm
inside.
Sorry.
Just
not where
wine,
the red light is.
Tequila.
So the other thing. So Trump has just been on a tear. You know, he had a rally at the end of last week in Michigan where, I mean, this was something else. Like, the 2020 Trump rallies have had a pretty interesting theme. Like, for all people who watch, who have the unfortunate duty of watching rallies front to back, or for me sometimes just to, like, kind of, you know, feel something inside, I'll watch a little bit. The energy is not the same anymore in 2016, you know?
Really?
The rallies, they start strong, but from, you can tell just from, like, his energy to the way the crowd responds to, like, talking points, they're even getting bored, which isn't a good sign because they used to go for, you know, like, white supremacist Coachella and have them do all the hits, and they loved it. But now, apparently, like, some journalists are saying, like, in the last few months, around the hour mark, people start leaving. Like, even if even in the middle of him talking, because typically they have to wait for so long just to get to the front to be able to see a dear leader that they want to, like, by that point, they're old and shit. They're like, I can feel my knees and we have to go.
By that point, they have COVID. By the time they get to the front, they've and that got was it.
And so on that note, this rally was packed. Thousands of people very close together. Oh, no mask wearing. At very little mask wearing. A reporter for the New York Times was actually kicked out because she had tweeted images from the rally pointing out the lack of mask usage. The reason was, she didn't get a press credential. She didn't get a press. I mean, they're doing it in a very American fascist way, which is like, there is a way to do it. She just didn't do it that way, which is she didn't have a press credential. So she didn't get hers in time. So when she kept pressing the office of the campaign for a credential, they just wouldn't give her one. So she showed up anyway, but she didn't have a press badge. But they're like, you used your New York Times account and tweeted it. Therefore, you're working and you don't have a thing. So you can't work here as president. You have to go because you told on us. Very cool. Very cool. Very chill.
Inhales where you're about to start crying.
Yeah.
You actually can't do that. So.
Yeah. That, like, when like you have that, like, coward standing up for themselves kind of moment. You're like, fool, you crying. But also it's very important. It doesn't always mean it's not a sign of weakness to cry, but sometimes you got to compose yourself if you really want to give them all that energy. So the other thing that was just to give you some insight at the rally before we get into the president's words was, again, the attitudes of the actual people attending. And you can only imagine, you know, with Donald Trump's quotes this week, how people were feeling, specifically when someone from CNN is asking them, hey, so what's up? How y'all feeling about COVID in here right now with none of the mask wearing? And here we go.
Why are you not wearing a mask? Because there's no COVID. It's a fake pandemic created to destroy the United States of America.
But the president said to Bob Woodward that there is a virus, the coronavirus, and that it is deadly.
That's his opinion. The truth is that the CDC said that only less than 10,000 people die from COVID. The other 190,000 have 2.6 or 2.8 other mortalities.
Does it worry you guys at all to be in this crowded space?
I'm not afraid. The good Lord takes care of me. If I die, I die. We got to get this country moving.
You heard it here, folks. We got to get this country moving. And these people who can't actually acknowledge their own privilege or, you know, proximity to the pandemic aren't able to connect the dots and are like, well, I think God is hooking me up. Or not that I'm a retiree who can afford to socially distance and, you know, and stay
even
safe.
Like their own like devotion to capitalism where at the end that man blatantly says like, well, you know, if the fucking like capitalism has to plow over me to keep going, so be it. I accept it. Capitalism is God's plan.
I'll eat a shit grenade right here, folks, for capitalism.
We are shit grenade.
This is bizarre. I got gotta tell you, it is so surreal on so many levels to be here as a Iranian American looking at Mars covered in smoke, wondering how the second election is gonna turn out, and listening to people so into their dogma and their like love of God that they've enmeshed with capitalism in this like bizarre theocratic twist on 9/11. I'm just having like so many odd, jaggedy mental moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've got wine.
I was gonna say, it sounds like it's a glass of wine. it's 12. It's new. It's past noon.
I mean, y'all, we haven't. I haven't even told you about the rally yet.
Oh no, my God.
I know.
Take it away.
So
let's get this. Dive in.
So
I want more.
The rally kicks off with Air Force One pulling the fuck up with the ceiling missing like two chains, and the fucking Fortunate Son is blasting out of the speakers,
no!
which is a song about wealthy draft dodgers during the Vietnam War.
What is happening?
So you hear fucking Fogerty, you hear his voice. The time of Fortunate Son, Trump comes out, and it's like, oh, y'all are
the fortunatest son.
100% most fortunate. And then the whole thing, like I said, it was just meandering. Starts off strong, says a couple things. And then we just get into like weird shit that people just check out when they're like listening to. First, I just, you know, there's a couple, and I'll play these like sort of out of sequence because these are just sort of ones that you have to check out. Aaron Rupar, @ATRupar on Twitter, because he typically will capture most of the Trump rally stuff and clip it out for you on Twitter. So you don't have to endure the whole thing. But if you follow him on Twitter and you're watching live, it's kind of the same thing. So one of the first things he did was say that he, I don't know, he got an award. He said he won the Michigan Man of the Year. And I just want to preface this clip by clip by saying, when it comes to Michigan Man of the Year and Trump winning it, no, he fucking didn't. And it's a made up award. Just so you know, what he's about to talk about right now is fake.
But this is. Is it a fake pageant?
I don't know. But listen to him. He's just up there just making stories up now. This is just, again, he's in Michigan. I'm Michigan Man of the Year. Peep this. Hold that.
But I was honored. I was doing very well. I was honored in Michigan. Does anybody know that? I was given Man of the Year award by somebody.
Somebody?
Oh, I came in and I spent like 45 minutes talking about how you've been ripped off, how all your auto companies are leaving and going to Mexico, and by the way, to Canada too, but how they're all leaving and going to Mexico and Canada. I spent the whole time talking about it. I said, at the end, I felt embarrassed. I said, I hope I haven't insulted the state too much, but why do you let this happen? I stopped it.
Okay.
I just have no more space in my head for stuff like that. Like,
it sounds like he does not either.
No.
I don't know.
It's pure jazz. I used to be like jokingly, like when Trump gets off prompter, man, that's just Trump jazz. He's just going to kind of do his thing. And there's no way to predict what comes out of his mouth. He is now full blown, like improvising anecdotes like about
that are completely disconnected. It went from Michigan to Mexico to
because he was the theme with him in Michigan is all he can think of is auto plants. And here was another anecdote he gave about how he like basically told Shinzo Abe, the former prime minister of Japan, he's like, I told Shinzo, I said, you gotta bring these companies back here. It ain't happening. You gotta bring these auto jobs back. And people are like, what's going on? Because like,
why does your things... Trump sound like Batman?
I mean, they're all the same, you know? But I think in that sense, it was just one of those moments where he's so sort of superficial in his understanding of like what the working person's gripe would be in that state that all he was like, Michigan auto workers. But, you know, he does know the history of Michigan, especially with Detroit. You know what I mean? The things that have come out of Ford, you know, Berry Gordy. I think people know him, his famous music label. I forget what the music label was called in Motortown, Motor City. I don't know. Let me let Trump just put us hip to what he believes came out of the great state of Michigan.
Oh, no.
Michigan gave us Motang. Gave us Motown, gave us the Mustang.
Oh, good rebound. Got it on the rebound. Got it on the rebound.
Yo, he gave us Motang, y'all.
Motang. It's, we were talking with Danielle Radford last week about how it's just like, at this point, it's just like, there's just no more space in anyone's head for this bullshit. Like, it's just so,
yeah.
It's infuriating. Motang. Motang.
Yeah, Motang. And I wouldn't be right to leave you with just a little bit more Antifa fear-mongering. Because again, anti-fascists, people who oppose fascism.
Oh yeah,
that's the sentiment. You know,
the other Antifa bowling league is not going to be thrilled about these little comments that have been made.
Well, like to hear this, how Trump again, what even his perception is of people who are anti-fascist. But again, this is very much the Fox News right-wing media perception or concept of what Antifa is, which is people clad in all black, wearing masks and just like busting windows and shit, that like that's just a mode of existence for people who are just like walking the streets with chains like I'm fucking Antifa. It's like no you're
context,
a, you're a conservative boomer if anything, people who are like walking down the streets looking for trouble. So listen to this great, just sort of, again, he doesn't like to panic people unless it's about making people fear anti-fascists.
They want to shut down auto production, delay the vaccine. They want to destroy your suburbs. Look at what I've done for your suburbs. You know what I've done. You know what I've done. Does anybody want to have somebody from Antifa as a member and as a resident of your suburb? I don't think so too much. Say,
wow. You
know, next door. Oh, it's a resident of Antifa. No, thank you. Let's get out of here. Let's get the hell out of here, darling. Let's leave our suburbs. Oh, I wish Trump were president. He wouldn't have allowed that to happen. And that's exactly right.
I'm sorry. A resident of Antifa has just moved. Anyway.
Antifa USA.
Well, yeah.
Welcome to Antifa USA. That's a fun cartoon.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Oh, yeah. Miley Cyrus remix. Let's
dropping
see. Let's
everything.
Get that one. So yeah, this is again the state of the rallies now, and just the, and even in the energy is waning, all the clips, like there are moments where he brings up things like, you know, just typical run of the mill xenophobia, and they can't even get excited for that. So, you know, you hate to see that even racists have like a threshold for boring content. They are
mix it up.
Yeah,
I genuinely think they're all just like getting sick while they're standing there and just running out of steam.
Right. I mean, just the way he's even talking now, like he can't even go the extra mile to get people to cheer. He's like, and you know what I did for you? You know what it was. You remember that. Come on, cheer, everyone. So the other thing I want to touch on really quickly before we go to break are these boat parades that we've seen where like everyone's like, look at this. Like, look at all these boats that have come out for Dear Cheater. It's amazing. What has happened here? 2 weeks ago, there was one in Texas where five boats were submerged. A couple actually sank. It's been sort of a regular thing because like larger boats are just creating like huge wakes that are just coming over the sides of these smaller boats. On conservative media, some people were saying it was sabotage. Other people who actually understand water and boats were like, it was not. It was the wakes of all these boats. But either way, they've been trying. But the thing that's really interesting is that a lot of this has become just a way for the president and the party and the media to undercut like polling numbers, because where they can't show polls tightening, and even in Rasmussen polls, which favor, you know, because they only use landlines, so they typically skew conservative. Mm-hmm. He's not even gaining in those polls. The whole thing is like, fuck it. You know, these boat parties are, they show a group of people coming out and that's what we can point to. And apparently, like on the media, they are using this to sort of say like, this is the silent majority, like to the point where even Trump himself has just saying the polling is fake. We have a silent majority, the likes of which nobody has seen. I just look, there are thousands of boats and lakes and rivers and oceans, thousands and thousands of boats. It's called Boaters for Trump. And
it's just toilets. Yeah. It's just toilets with little boats in them.
Just a million tiny Titanics. Like,
right. Well, and also great sample size too. Like, do you any person I know with a boat is a old white guy with more money than me? You know what I mean?
Listen.
Or another dude who, all I know is this: I don't know somebody broker than me with a nice boat. You know what I mean? So it's a very specific group of the yes. boat owning public. Sure. Yes.
The boat owning public has spoken.
Yeah.
I mean, that story was, again, just it was just so ridiculous that when I found out no one got hurt, I'm like, okay, so that's just, I guess, funny to me. That yeah. the boat as a boating are public, Titanic-ing themselves.
I as was the voted public. I was voted boat of the year.
Ah.
I'm boat of the year.
Oh, you were Michigan's boat of the year?
I was Michigan's boat of the year.
And I talked for 45 minutes about how I didn't like when Chrysler left here, whatever that was, Dodge or... You know what I did for you.
And I stopped it.
Yeah.
Dodge Tang.
You 100% did. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with some good, clean Catholic sex and some yes. Babu Frick stuff, which sounds so weird, but buckle up. We'll be right back. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and... Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And time to check in with the Vatican, you know, see what's going on over there. I mean, as someone who went to a Catholic high school and has had a lot of Catholicism just smashed into their head, even though I was, you know, don't believe it. But I could bang with the best of them if you want to talk Catholicism. it's always interesting to see what's going on with Pope Francis, that everyone loves to call Chill Pope. he's the most chill pope, which I guess when, you know,
I mean, it's like, what is that really saying?
I mean, there was Nazi pope, so it's all relative, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I was like, really look at the yardstick there for chillest pope.
There's a new book coming out that someone, you know, is working on and just getting some quotes. And, you know, he's had some interesting, you know, takes that have felt more in line with the modern world. And this time they're like, what about sex, Pontifex, father?
What about sex?
What about fucking Pope? What about fucking? What's your stance on fucking Pope?
Oh, baby.
And Pope said this, pleasure arrives directly from God. It is neither Catholic nor Christian nor anything else. It is simply divine.
Was he like jerking off while he said that?
He goes on.
Oh my God.
The pleasure of eating and sexual pleasure come from God.
Yeah. Okay.
That was my own emphasis on those words, but those are his words.
Pope's
called verbatim theater. A bit of verbatim theater, I believe, is what it's called.
I mean, theater. you gotta hand it to him. That's some chill Pope rhetoric.
I mean, dude, the pleasure of eating and sexual. I'm like, oh, sign me up.
Ooh, I'm like, okay, so he's a kinky Pope.
They're like, does that mean I can masturbate while having a communion wafer?
Yeah.
Can I combine them?
But like,
so 9.5 weeks.
Catholics have been waiting to hear this shit for centuries to be like, God, cum is from God. That's the loophole I've been waiting for, baby.
Yeah, right.
That is a game changer. Someone's got to tell my uncles about this.
Right. I'm gonna go to my high school and march out front of my old high school and be like, cum, cum comes from God. Cum comes from God.
Like, I knew it.
Yeah. I mean, cum 316.
Check
anyway.
Out my jizz grenade.
I'm surprised my old high school never has me come back to address the youth. Really a shame. Like,
hey,
I have a lot to say.
Just a quick update, everybody.
Yeah, right? Just so you know, yeah, we could talk a little about podcasting and my journey from this school and into the working world, but just so y'all know, cum 316. Okay, I got it tatted.
New merch. New merch.
Cum 316.
Cum comes from God. Cum comes from God. Yeah, leaf blower. Yeah.
Oh, you got a leaf blower going too?
Yeah.
See, solidarity.
Leaf blower solidarity.
So the Pope continued saying that, like, because they're asking, like, okay, Pope, this is kind of a hot take for you. You know what I mean? Especially from the church. Like, what's going on again? You know, like, what's the deal? And he said, basically saying that, you know, referencing the entire life of the church about how it's been condemning the sexual pleasures and things like that. He described it as, quote, overzealous morality, a wrong interpretation of the Christian message.
Ooh.
I think many people, like, also took that quote, and I think their first thought was also like, okay, but what about some of these other things y'all still got going in the church that are sort of rigid?
I mean, yes, very valid. What about all the crimes?
Sure. What about a woman's ability to choose what to do with their God-given body? Oh, let's not touch that.
Hey, we just got to come. Okay?
Yeah, we just got to come.
We just said come for the first time in the history of church.
Yeah. And I'm the first pope to write cum on a chalkboard and spell it C-U-M nasty style, okay?
Nasty style.
Like he's Bart Simpson.
Cum comes from God. Cum comes from God. Cum comes from God. Cum comes from God.
Someone please make it. Yeah.
Okay, and before these lightning bolts just fly through my ceiling and strike me down to smite me, I do want to bring a bit of good news, so a reason for all of us to rejoice, especially for people who have a big investment in the Star Wars sequels, episodes 7, 8, and 9.
Which no one really does, but the news is still good.
I love them. I love also how Reddit and the internet has an inexhaustible energy source to keep rewriting the fucking films or re-editing scenes. It's unbelievable.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It doesn't stop.
Yeah, and you're like to the point where you're like, did you like illegally obtain the footage that didn't have a score underneath it so you can like mash these things up? And they're like, I actually was able to like isolate. It's like, okay, thank you. Just so you know, that's still not the movie. And you're going to have to do that.
He was like,
But Jamie, I really brought this in for you because Babu Frick,
I appreciate it,
is your favorite character. And I think also for me, when we like around the time we watched it, he was like one of the best moments. Is that Babu Frick was just sort of like this absurd moment.
He's only in two scenes. He's the one that like busts C-3PO's, like gives, wipes C-3PO's brain.
Yep.
And he's like, he works with what's her name, the unnecessary love interest they gave for Oscar Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he and then he goes, hey, hey, that's his catchphrase. Hey,
yeah.
Hey. I love it.
He's just, you know, just so for people who don't know, I'm just going to say that he is who lived during the war between the First Order and the Resistance, working as a droid smith, okay, mm-hmm. among the spice runners of Kijimi, okay? And he could reprogram, we don't have to get into all of that, but those are sort of his bona fides. Mm-hmm. And this plush toy, I think, is really... it's endearing, but it's missing his whiskers. It's missing his whiskers and long old man eyebrows that remind me of like...
I don't know if I mentioned this the last time we talked to Babu Frick on mm-hmm. Zeitgeist, but the like puppeteer who did his character has this like whole backstory about Babu Frick and how like Babu Frick has this like lost love in his life. And there's like... there's a whole piece that came out about it on Cinema Blend a couple months ago that it was like, she has this whole, she's like, people don't understand because Babu Frick says maybe six words in the movie and they're all, hey, hey.
Right.
But there's actually a deep lore. And I'm like, I mean, I'm looking for a reason to cancel my Disney Plus subscription. But if they, if they did a Babu Frick series, I would be like, okay, I'll stay.
Did you hear that?
Oh my god!
If I can stomach the Mandalorian, whatever that is, I don't know what that has to do with Star Wars. But Babu Frick
got overshadowed by Baby Yoda as the cutest Star Wars character of last year.
That actually, we didn't discuss the concerted campaign of Babu Frick erasure from mm-hmm. the expanded universe, universe. I think it is. It's true. They are trying to subvert this man because he's a droid smith. He's like a working class hero. You know what I mean?
He's Joe Plummer, Miles.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, you cracked.
Hey man, Frick, Babu 2020, man. Fuck it. I'm writing Babu Frickin. This man gets it. Apparently, though, in the original, like sort of iterations of the script, Babu Frick was gonna get got and he would have been dead, actually. He would have died.
I'm so glad he lived. So now we can have six seasons and a movie.
And I just so you know, before he became Babu Frick, they were calling him Babu Zazi.
Babu Zazi.
I'm kind of feeling Babu Zazi too. Like,
I like that just as much, if not more.
I like anything with a Z in it.
Or bring them back. Yes, Babu Zara, go off. Yes. Yeah. Babu Zara. Bring them both, like put them together like a Milli Vanilli type duo.
Oh, I love it.
Babu freaking Babu Zazi.
Ooh. Babu Zazi. So here's the poll quote that
droid,
I found.
You know it's true.
The poll quote about Babu Frick's backstory is this. It's, beyond the film, Babu has lived a life. Somewhere out there, he has a lost love. He thinks about her sometimes when he sits down in his workshop and lets his thoughts drift away. That's what I think, anyways. I was like, wow. Oh, Babu Frick is a fucking, like, Casanova.
Oh my god!
This is from Shirley Henderson?
Yes.
The woman who voiced him?
Yes. And she's like, listen, there's more to this man than meets the eye. He's sensitive.
Now, I didn't watch Harry Potter, but she also voiced Moaning Myrtle. That's a thing?
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
No way!
Is that good?
That's kind of fun. I don't feel one way or another about it. Okay. That's fine.
Wait,
I'll take it.
She didn't need to voice Moaning Myrtle because Moaning Myrtle had like a body. Did she play Moaning Myrtle? Is that the same person?
I don't know. She said she's known for roles such as Moaning Myrtle in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets and Goblet of Fire.
Nice.
Weird. Oh, I guess maybe that is her. Yeah, who played... Yeah, it is. That was her body.
Oh, whoa, damn.
Love her. Love this.
Shout out Moaning Myrtle. Myrtle Elizabeth Warren is her full name, y'all. Don't think you know about that.
That's right.
Frick Hive 2020, we're in the building.
Frick Hive 2020.
I guess 2024. I think we have to wait till 20. Let's be realistic here.
Yeah, that's true. It's
we're
too
biting
late.
Off a lot more than we can chew trying to get Babu on the ballot for this presidential election. But
you know what? We need to unify and get behind one reasonable candidate.
Uh-huh. Babu Frick.
Babu Frick.
Ha-ha.
I'm excited. This tour doesn't come out till October 17th, which is just long enough for me to forget that I ordered it. And then it'll show up and I'll be like, hey.
Do you do that when you forget you pre-ordered something and it arrives? Do you ever go, okay, 45 days ago, Jamie was not really thinking much about this purchase? Or you're always like, yes, that's right, I got it. Do you ever like regret it?
I don't know. I usually don't. I always worry about that. And then I don't pre-order things. And then I kind of regret it later. I have the opposite problem.
Oh, it's sold out. Yeah. You don't want to be that one kid who comes to school without a Babu Frick plushie. Oh, no.
I'm not going to talk to you.
No.
And I'm glad you pre-ordered it. And actually, I will ask for evidence of that, because if not, I will have to block you on all my social media.
Fair.
Zara, thank you so much for coming by and joining us from the red part of California, not politically,
thank
just
you
the
for
skywise.
Having me here all the way from Mars.
Where can people find you and follow you? And what is a tweet that you like?
You can catch me on this season of United Shades of America with W. Kamau Bell on CNN.
Yeah, caught you there.
Follow me everywhere at Zara Comedy. My favorite tweet is from Josh Gondelman. He wrote, every so often I look at pictures of myself from February as a reminder that I didn't have it together before the pandemic either.
I love Josh. That's the best.
Oh, man. He went from like what? Last week tonight to Desus and Mero, didn't he?
Yeah.
Very, very. It's true. I like that move. Look at
love
that.
Love him.
Dude, I wonder what that's like to write for Desus and Mero. What kind of vibe is that exactly? okay, how about this? Young Babu, Babu Zazi, a.k.a. Babu Jamie, Babu Zamboni.
Yeah,
Babu
yeah.
Boni. Babu Boni. Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for, you know, being with me as I spiral out of control on mic, on
always
caffeine.
Always glad to be a TA.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes, that's my TA. You will respect her. So if she asks you to do something, you will also do something. Okay. Thank you to my students.
She's a freshman in college. So please.
So she kind of like knows stuff and like, don't ask her about partying and stuff. She's not allowed to talk to you guys about that. well, where can people find you and follow you? And what's a tweet that you're liking?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram at Jamie Cray Superstar. I'm going to shout out my dear friend Andrea Moore at @amoore_less. She is awesome. And we, this week, along with a bunch of other people with Streetwatch LA, did an action about. So the framing for this tweet is that the screenwriter for Point Break had boulders installed where unhoused people used to live in an act of hostile architecture, and a bunch of people moved the boulders. And so I'm going to shout out her thread. It's a really interesting look at hostile architecture in LA in general. And if that is not a term you're familiar with, today is a great day to become familiar with it. But the tweet is, NIMBY spent $3,500 on ugly boulders to prevent unhoused people from existing in their neighborhoods, so we moved them. And the pictures are very funny because boulders are hard to move and everyone looks very tired.
This has been, that topic comes up a lot, you know, like especially on LA discussed internet anythings, and it's
for sure,
still so baffling to me the mindset of a lot of these people who like going to be like, well, you know, the people are just concerned about like their neighborhoods because these people can be violent and and while I understand that they're like any walking any street, there's a risk of encountering someone who may not be a do-gooder, but like the idea that like that's the only reason why, and completely missing the point that this is a failure of the city.
It's
and
just
like,
absolute bullshit. Like, yeah, it's the most heartless thing you could possibly do. And like you're saying, like just missing a connection in your head of like, oh, if I put rocks somewhere,
then this person
problem solved. Like,
who didn't have access to the support they needed, whether that was medically, financially, for their mental health, yeah, et cetera, is in there. They want to be there. And I just want to tell people, if you're not in a city that has a huge unhoused population, please start using the term unhoused, because, yes, that already says homeless means you are not in possession of a home. But unhoused puts a little more emphasis on the people who we pay taxes to and things like that to, you know, mm-hmm, ensure that things like that are a basic human right, you know, roof over your head. And it's also tight. I think, who is it? Brittany Nichols, too, I think was part of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw on her Twitter, somebody was like, I took some of your pictures and put it in a Craigslist ad and basically on Craigslist, yeah, said, hey, if you're looking for some fucking boulders for your yard.
Free boulders.
Yeah. Just come pick them up.
Brittany Nichols rocks. I'll shout out Brittany as well. That's at B is hilarious.
Yeah, we got to have her on soon, too.
You should. Yeah, she's the best.
She's like another person who I'm like, we follow each other and like each other's stuff. And then I'm like, we should use our voices to talk at some point.
She is like doing the coolest shit. And I've learned a lot just from like following her alone. But yeah, the good news is the boulders, the guy who basically organized to install boulders had to then pay to have them removed because it's littering.
Good.
So
I just liked how like he hadn't tweeted in like 4 years. Cause I think Brittany had added him in a tweet. And I was like, let me see what this fool is doing. He hadn't said shit in forever, but I like how people are in his replies like, hey, turd, you want to keep fucking around? Okay, well, thank you for that. In terms of me, let me just tell y'all a tweet that I like. This is from @remember_Sarah from Sarah Marshall. The tweet is, remember the 90s when David Schwimmer would say lesbians and the audience would laugh and laugh and laugh? Damn, what a fucking... the lack of awareness, man. Like, there are times I still think about this. Her Majesty, my partner, she's like, you don't watch Friends? I'm like, no, man, I don't see a fucking person no, I don't know. I don't watch Friends. There's nothing about it that appeals to me. And like, but everyone's like, it's such a good show. I'm like, okay, I'll watch something. And then I saw how like Matthew Perry's like mother was transgender. And it became like this whole bit. I was like, yo, this is aggressively out of nowhere. Yeah.
I've seen like five.
You're like, your mom, your dad's a cross dresser? And it was just like, well, okay. Anyway, but look, how far we've come from the 90s, it's which like, isn't that far at all.
It's just like, let it go. Let's let these shows go.
The man in a dress trope, I think that lasted until like 3 years ago.
Yeah. People still say that, like, terribly dated, problematic. You still like problematic terms. I have to like hit my older family members to it all the time. Like, oh no. We're not. No. Come on, keep up with the times.
Right.
There was. I'm trying to find the name. Disclosure. That awesome Netflix documentary that came out earlier this year that like explores that trope and like the portrayal of trans people on TV and in movies in detail. It's really good.
Yeah. Okay, so that's my tweet. You can find me at Twitter and Instagram @milesofgray, and also the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. If you watch 90 Day Fiance, I love the show. Come by, check it out. We have, if you look on the Apple Podcast app, low key, I do like the worst Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jerry Seinfeld impressions on there, and the algorithm says that they're guests on the podcast. Legitimately, Jerry Seinfeld, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Long may that live. So it's an all-star cast. Please stop by with myself and Sophia Alexandra. You can find us, The Daily Zeitgeist, on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist, on Instagram @TheDailyZeitgeist. We have a Facebook fan page. We got a website, www.dailyzeitgeist.com. Also, that's where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Thank you. As well, just so you know, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So if you'd like a little bit more of that, check out the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. And with that, we shall move on to the song we are riding out on. It's Monday. It's time to get the energy so fucking charged up so you can get through another week of our personal heavens or hells, but we will choose in this context to call it our dancing heaven. And long may it live. This is I don't know how I got to this album. Sometimes I go on SoundCloud and I end up on the other side with some good music. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's a banger. This is a flip from Andrew and True Hill. I don't know how you spell this, but It's Andrew and then a period right after the W. And then this other artist is T-R-V-E space Hill. Okay, so I don't know how you say that. Maybe they're trying to be clever using the V as the U's, or maybe it's an A like ASAP. I don't know. Okay, I'm old. I don't know what the new things are that the kids do to type their names. But this track is called Solo Sao, and it's got this baile funk vibe. I don't know, man. You feel like you in Brazil and the Jinga is shooting up your spine like the devil's wine. So check this track out. You will enjoy it. You can only find this one on SoundCloud. So go over there and go support those artists. And with that, we will ride out on that. Thank you, Zara. Thank you, Jemmy. And until next time.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. Yeah. We will see you on a little bit to talk trends and also tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.